Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouthhorn.
With Karen and Chris.
Okay, I'm turning these off.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride?
Oh my God!
This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
And we are in beautiful Burbank.
Hello.
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 And we almost left my car. We're in your car right now.
That's right.
We almost left my car running.
Running on the street.
Yeah. Just running. My plan was to move it in your driveway because I never noticed in all these years that if I leave my car past 8, well, how much is the ticket I could have been getting this?
I'm sure it was above $80.
Oh.
The way they do it in my town.
Ooh, and if I had ever. Oh, God. I always like to start our episodes with a tiny stroke.
Did you do a ton of coke before this episode?
Oh, you know what? Just my normal bullet. I don't know what... I heard a bullet is like a thing that shoots the exact nostril serving. You twist it.
It shoots it?
Yeah, and then you can drop it on the ground and no coke spills out. It sounds like a great invention.
Fucking thank God someone from fucking... From the band Rush invented that
right. So
that we could all have our coke protected.
Yeah, when you invent something that deals with coke being more easily put into your nostril, who pays you? Like, what company?
I guess Nicaragua? Crypt.
Nicaraguans.
Colombians. Yeah, Colombians.
You get a government check.
It's a stipend.
Yes, yes. It either goes to that or Parks and Rec.
The TV show.
Yes, we're going to bring it back.
Coke it back.
One time I left my car, I had all these paintings because I would do my painting in college at my dad's because he had, that is where I lived, one. And then two, he had a little paint studio because my dad's a painter.
And oh, nice.
So we did, the assignment was like at least 4x4 foot paintings.
Shit.
Which is, yeah, that's such a lazy assignment and it's a lot of work, especially if you paint detailed and you don't do big broad strokey
bullshit
hippie art with a goddamn dreadlock painted on it and
what if you painted with your dreadlock? Do you hate it the same way?
I can only imagine how angry I would be at that very realistic thing that could have happened. I dipped it. The reason I used my own hair is because it's kind of a symbol for how my parents feel about the fact that they're paying for my school and they won't help me maintain my BMW SUV. Sorry, that was my impression of a...
Of someone very specific.
Yes, a very specific from Vermont trust fund student in Montana.
Would you call him a trustafarian? And if so, what song would he sing?
It would sound a little bit like this. I came for the mountains. I came to telemark ski. Styly ski, styly.
We've gone in so down that I know exactly when to. It's like volleyball. Bump set, and you come in with your fucking reggae spike.
I feel like you even knew I could do some mountain riffs.
Of course I did. Chris, I've been sitting next to you listening to you do that riff for quite some time.
Thank you. I am the Tosh of comedy. No, I guess Daniel Tosh would be that. I'm the Peter Tosh of reggae comedy.
You're the Josh of comedy. That's what you are.
I Oh, so I left. I went in to have my paintings reviewed.
Yes.
And it's a 3-hour process, the length of an art class, twice as long as all the other. People give art majors a lot of shit, but you're in school twice as long.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the whole time, while we're... I can't think of the word. That's... anyway, my car...
In studio?
In studio, judging people's paintings. I can't think of what that word is.
Oh, got it. County fair?
I just haven't left the house much.
Okay, we're going to work through all that.
Yeah, we are. And then I came out and my car was moved. The keys were left. The ignition was off. But when I came out, I remembered, oh my God, I left my car open. Doors open, hatch open. Because I just grabbed the paintings, ran them up there, and they said, are you ready to start? And I'm like, I don't know, why not?
And in your mind, you were like, my mom just dropped me off. That's happening right now.
Why are my mittens not on pieces of yarn from my cuff? And I just remembered right when I ran out and the car was gone. I'm like, of course it's stolen. My Ford Escort wagon. No, it was parked.
No one wants that shit.
It was parked legally, and if I'm not mistaken, they put money in a meter. I wish they had left a note.
Some cookies.
Even the way my keys were left on the seat, like all lined up perfectly, fanned out.
Can I tell you my theory?
Yes, please.
A person who has done very bad things in his or her life came upon your running car.
Right.
Was like, this is my chance to make good and turn it around.
Yep.
Instead of stealing this or peeing in the front seat like I used to do, what I'm going to do now is be the Christian that I've always wanted to be and just do the perfectly nicest thing.
Right.
Don't you think?
I'd like for it to be that. I'm worried that even more likely is that it's on me in that it was a dreadlocked hippie dude that had paint in his dread.
Yep.
Who moved to Montana because he loved it for
the mountains,
the scenery, and he's probably recycled and did all the things that I never did that I now appreciate.
He recycled his way to Montana.
And he was like, I'm going to do the right thing here, bro. And yep. Annoyingly, in a hippie way, moved my car and parked it like a dirty-haired sweetheart.
Was there a residual smell of patchouli and body odor?
I don't remember. I think it was well aired out, you know, because I left the doors open.
Oh, that's right. So he moved it, but he didn't close the doors.
Right. He left the doors open like it was at a car show for 81 Escort wagons.
Look inside and you'll see Chris's shirt. Well, I was trying to make you feel better because when you discovered that you had left your car running and the lights on in front of my house, you seemed a bit dejected. And so I wanted to comfort you by telling you that when I was home and visiting my family, I went to the CVS and I love a good CVS trip. I'll look at every goddamn new thing that I can find at the end of the aisle.
I've been to the CVS with you, and yes, you do.
I take a good long time. Well, just in case there's new eyeshadow or something.
Right.
But when I came out about a half an hour later, my lights were on in the car, and I was like, oh shit, I left the lights on. That's weird. And then when I got into the car, it was on. It was running. And I'd left the car on also.
Because your car, when it's running, it's just a silent electronic purr.
It is whisper quiet.
Yes.
Just like my washing machine.
So someone would have to get in to steal a purse or some CVS mascara to then realize the car was on and drivable.
Yes. And that's also when they would realize the car is alive, and then claws would come out and kill them for getting into it, because this car is a lot like Christine.
Oh, wow.
Evil car.
How did you have to pay extra for that?
No, I just called up the devil.
Hello, devil. I just watched, is it Brian De Palma that made Christine?
I don't know.
I believe so.
Okay.
I know it's based on a Stephen King book.
That's what I was going to say, but that's what everybody knows.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm the kind of guy that pulls Brian De Palma out, and I probably am wrong, but a lot of people, have you noticed how often they're saying Chris was right?
What, online?
Like on Twitter.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
We have a lot of self-doubt.
Yeah, I'm riddled with it.
Yeah, I relate. Look at that moon. I'm sorry, but look at it.
Oh, it's round and it's big.
Moon report. And it's happening.
And when I'm throwing a gig, I just can't help myself. I act like an animal.
What's that?
That's Sir Mix-a-Lot's werewolf rap. It's very lesser known.
I would like to brag and say that I thought it was Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back.
Yeah, well, he likes the moon round and big. And when he's throwing a gig. See, I just repurposed, because I don't like to talk about lady spots.
You can, though. I think I feel empowered by it.
I'm not going to talk. I don't even look at women this last month.
Smart. Good
move. I do not make eye contact. I will no longer defend them on Twitter, because I'll get blocked.
Good.
Oh, I'll tell you that one later. But, yeah, Twitter isn't the place to actually communicate. I've realized lately.
No, in the least.
And I've kind of, because I'm at home so much, just because I am lately.
Yep.
I rely on it for interactions with real people that I do know. And there's so much room for tone being misread that I kind of want to throw my phone in a bowl of rice for a couple months and just not deal with it, because I'm realizing it's not making me happy. And it's when I wake up, the last thing I do when I go to sleep is I'm just looking through nervously at nothing.
Yeah,
let me check
here.
My email at 1 a.m.
Yes.
What am I doing? And then right when I wake up, and I know you're that way with Twitter, but I'm like that with a ton of things.
I have a couple things. My friend Bradford made up this term. He calls it the digital looping. I think he calls it looping, where you just go like Twitter, email. I do Yahtzee. You just go back and forth between like four apps that you're obsessed with, and you just keep clicking, 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 clicking.
Yes. And I even got on, I'm on the dating Bumble, and I don't think I will ever. First of all, it's lowered my self-esteem.
Ugh.
And you're judging people. It's not natural to look at four pictures of a human and swipe on them. I'm not trying to sound like I'm better
than
anyone, but I'm like, it makes me feel gross.
Yes.
And, but then you start to overlook it, like guns in a video game, and you just start getting rid of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, hate the sweater.
Yeah.
Wow, two of your dog. Nice nostrils. Like I'm just become a monster. And I've kind of gotten used to it. Like that bad, everyone likes Black Mirror, but there is that episode where everyone's like dependent on a star rating in life.
Yeah.
And everyone's, you know, it kind of really feels like the beginning of that. And
well, you know what's funny too? It the excitement that you feel, that looks like Sarah Schaefer. The excitement that you feel in real life when you meet a person that you actually have chemistry with.
Right.
Feels these days like such a rare experience because nobody is paying attention to anything really anymore.
Right.
So like you're projecting these ideas of what you could have that with onto pictures, which tell you nothing about a person or about how you could connect with a person.
Right.
Except for like, if you don't like certain types of noses or you really do like a certain type of nose, well, that's one thing. But like, to me, I was like, I just don't like people like this. And oftentimes, the better looking a person is, the less I would automatically like them because I'm like, ooh, I feel like you may not have lived correctly.
Right. Well, that's how women, I think, one of the ways they're maybe better developed because I think most men are like, put the looks first, I think.
Well, I think
so.
You're neurologically set up that way, though.
Yeah.
Vision-based.
Yeah, but no. It's, I don't know. It horrifies me, and I can't imagine a person that's not scared about my well-being, just meeting a stranger somewhere, much less, you know, one of these rapey dudes, you know. It's the fucking scariest concept.
It's crazy.
But everyone does it.
Everyone does it in the same way everyone gets into an Uber.
And right, exactly.
That's like stranger danger, step one stranger danger, but we all do it.
Someone tweeted a thing or had a joke about it, so I'm sorry, but I don't know. But I'll butcher it so it's no longer their thing.
Oh, nice.
You know, we're always told to never talk to strangers, and you never get in a... And you never go online and talk to strangers. Now they've combined the two where you go online to have a stranger come and you actually get in a car with them. See, I butchered it, but there is a point there.
Yes.
The internet and strangers are supposed to be dangerous, and then you combine them both, and it's become this convenience.
You know what's how I think they did it? Because I remember when Uber very, very first came out, and my friend Ed Hansen explained it to me. He was like, you can get like a car, like how celebrities get driven from their house to a talk show or whatever. You can call a car, and it's super cheap. It's like $20.
Right.
And it's called Uber X or whatever the fancy Uber is. And so in my mind, everyone was going to come and pick me up wearing like a suit.
Right.
And like being a professional driver. And so you kind of like, you just go, oh, this is a professional driver. You accept the fact that you give them all this credit.
The first Uber rides I took, it was that way. And it was an Escalade or an SUV or whatever. There wasn't all these subcategories of the type of person that would come. What class of human do you want to pick you up?
A scumbag.
It was always, yeah, it was. It, and it was cheap, and it was like weird. I just had a giant Suburban pick me up, and the guy was wearing a suit. And
was he really?
Yeah, because I think for a while it was like at the beginning of it, they were using actual drivers.
That
in their off time, they're like, well, I'm going to do this app too because I got 3 minutes before I pick up those drunk girls at the Golden Globes.
Right.
I'm just going to pick up this dude and take him to a house party.
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean? Yeah, and now it's, I think it's great. And of course, there are, you know, your Facebook and your everything, it would be the hardest way to get away with something, in all honesty, I think.
Like, you could.
A cab driver can murder people willy-nilly,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you never see him again.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. I also have had some of the best conversations with Uber drivers, like getting into, like it always, I always start the conversation with, is the traffic as bad now or worse than it was 5 years ago, in your opinion? And then we have a long conversation about how too many people live in LA and, you know, it's all getting super crazy and it's bad for your health. That's where we start. But then we go into, I've had some like highly philosophical conversations with people.
Me too.
I love it.
I love talking to Uber guys. Maybe it's a testament to being lonely-ish lately, but I will talk their ear off. And on a plane. You bet, old lady. Put down those needles.
but that's her insulin. She has to have those needles.
Yeah, well, she shouldn't be using them to make a scarf.
And not while I'm talking.
Yeah, we got stuff. What was it like in the 50s? Both fists under my chin.
1850s.
Go. Did you know, I don't think I ever told you this, my great-grandma, who lived to be, I think, 101, saw 3 centuries.
Yeah.
She was born in 1898, I believe, and like died, let's just say, 2000. And let's just say that equals 101.
Let's all say it together.
Everybody now. I'm so glad we're finally using our backseat chorus. Oh, I'm excited for Christmas.
Oh, I am too.
It's funny because I think it's going to get me out of this slump.
Yes, it will.
Because it's the only Christmas and the excitement about it and the way you feel and even the spiritual. It's the only time of the year I'm like, maybe we don't just tits up die.
Maybe people do care about each other.
Yeah. And I think that it, even my, the guy next to you at Walmart with a sleeveless flannel and the fart hat is in the same, like, I can actually talk to him about something.
Yes.
Like, he could have a Trump, a shirt with an AR-15 on it that said,
kill all reporters.
Yeah. whatever clever bumper sticker you have with your machine gun shirt. Mm-hmm. I can overlook that and go, your nephew likes Legos too?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Because sometimes,
or a way better example.
Because sometimes the politics are, it's almost like sometimes I feel like people use politics to distance themselves. But if you're not allowed to talk about them, which these days almost everybody's like that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Matt Ingebretson Street, that's our guest today.
Being blocked.
Is entirely blocked by two large three.
They're.
Oh my God.
What?
Oh, wait, there's like a fucking parade. It's like a...
Is it? Or is there a... I mean, we have to know what this is.
This can't be
Okay, it's holiday. It's holiday.
Oh, God, fuck.
See? Everything is a shooting now. Oh. That's what I'm taught. That's why I can't... Oh. And what you're saying right now about politics getting in the way of people connecting, that is the first thing I look at is Twitter, and that's the first thing I look at And all I've been thinking about in the last couple of days is that Trump's going to get fired because, you know, they've proven that he met the Russian meddling, and then also that he tried to stop them from investigating and said meddling. There's two good reasons. But so I'm just looking at it over and over, and it bums me out.
It's horrifying.
And then you see a group of people caroling, and I feel like someone's been shot.
Yes. Well, it's three long fire trucks blocking off the street.
Right.
And that looked like super emergency, not plain old heart attack, but it looked like no one come here for a really long time.
Yeah. Well, either that or they're lined up so Evel Knievel can jump them.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Okay, wait, hold on. We're very close to Max.
No one does. No one thinks about Evel anymore. Because he's dead. We are looking up Max. Our guest will be the very tall, very interesting, very funny Matt Ingebretson.
Who is one of my favorite guests we've ever had. I feel like the show we did with him that day was one of the funniest shows we've ever done.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. And he's got more going on in his head than just comedy jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah, he's a very well-rounded person.
Yes.
And he has a show coming up that we should talk to him about. Because he's got a wonderful show coming out on, what do you call it?
I believe it's Comedy Central, and I believe I have a small role in it.
What?
Yes.
Oh, shit. We got anecdotes aplenty. Okay, I guess we're going to have to go around the corner here.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to turn that on again.
Okay. This is one of those times where now we need to look at our phone and fake talk.
Oh, it's
as
all right.
We do.
We've been given some heavy duty talking.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's pretty nonstop heavy duty.
Yeah, maybe we have a segment called Quiet Time.
Yeah.
Where nobody talks.
People would have appreciated, I suppose.
It's something, you know, maybe this is the chance to unplug. While you're listening to a podcast, we're going to give you a chance to go off the grid.
Yeah, and I'll just walk you through this. Take off your shoes right under your desk there.
Yeah.
Feel that. Keep your socks on.
Don't look at anybody, then they won't look at you.
I hope your cubicle is carpeted, because you're just going to drive your little toes and making little fists on the floor. How's that feel? All right. Now you're going to pull your hands up to the back of your neck and just kind of elongate your spine.
Yeah.
Towards the sky, all your energy. Now, where are we?
Now?
Oh, I got, okay. There's just a holiday fun fair getting in the way of our friend and us.
Oh, I see. Okay, it's up a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
We'll be fine.
We will be fine.
We're all going to make it, not only on this car trip, but America, we're going to be okay.
Yes.
Don't worry. Even if there's full-scale revolution,
right,
we're going to live.
It's not going to happen in December, because no one works in December, even revolutionaries.
Everybody's going to go to Palm Springs.
Yeah. The revolution will probably be during pilot season.
That's right. Everyone's already feeling very rejected, and they have nothing to lose.
You did go home for Thanksgiving.
I did.
And it was, tell me some of the fun things your father or sister said. Fun family quotes.
God damn it.
I read a couple. I'm setting you up to say some
to
tweets.
To repeat tweets.
Yeah, well.
My dad, now I can't remember any of the tweets. My dad, he always makes us watch sports that we don't care about. Then I pretend I care about sports. Sarcastically, just to fuck with him.
That's what I do.
Do you really? To your dad?
Well, I don't care about watching sports, and he's way into it. But it's fun to sit with him.
Yeah, but do you, like, my dad will be, like, telling me about individual players' lives, and I'll be like,
oh, God.
Really? And then he'll be like, you be quiet. Because then he knows I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, no. I don't jest my father. I have a little respect for the man.
Oh.
Sorry, that was, you know, that was a joke. I was doing it to you just now.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
You're jesting me, but you won't jest him.
Yes, right.
Fine. I mean, that's not very common, but fine. Usually we jest our parents.
Right, and respect our friends like father figures.
I mean, I paid for your fucking college.
You did.
You would
did.
Think.
Half of it. The other was, what's her name?
Okay, so you stopped driving, sir.
Yeah, there's a reason both your bumpers are torn off, revealing wires and bolts.
This is, LA is one of the only places where people, when they're lost, and often are, they just let their car kind of drift until they figure out where they're going. They don't pull over. They don't, like, make it right.
Right.
They just kind of, it's just kind of like, well, let's see what happens.
We are kind of doing it. Even right now.
That's true.
We did it right now.
No one's around.
We did the same, and it was on the similar corner to that guy.
I just did exactly what that guy did.
He was doing. Oh, drifting.
Fucking drifting. On a Sunday afternoon.
Vin Diesel type of drifting.
Let's go to Tokyo drifting. I saw it in the theater.
It's the perfect time of year to go to Tokyo
and drift.
Candy canes, little dogs, little girls, lots
fresh
of snow,
fish.
Old man bringing gifts, father yells, sister hits, everybody loves the Tokyo Christmas drift.
Sorry.
It's okay. You forgot the original Tokyo premise, but it's still, the point is it's about Christmas.
That's right, everybody. And what is Christmas based in? Christ. So, open your Bibles to page
1 Corinthians 8:9-8.
Wait, that's my area code.
Whoops. Now everyone knows where to come and kill me. It always goes back to murder.
Wait, now, I thought I knew where Matt Ingebretson lived, but apparently he has moved.
Oh, okay.
Am I wrong?
I do not know where. I do not remember.
You don't remember when I'm wrong.
I do not remember where we picked him up in the past.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm on the wrong street right now.
Oh,
but I'm
going
to go. I'm going to drift on down to. It's one block away.
Drift on through to the other side?
Yep.
Do you think people get sick of my impromptu song parodies?
I never. And if they do, they're joyless fucks. Because what was better than that?
I wish you had said a joyless fox. I'm kind of attracted to pretty people that got a chip on their shoulder. You're a joyless fox, aren't you?
You're a bummer hottie.
Look at that grumpy cougar.
Stone cold. Okay, I know. See, I actually put the directions on, which is what I should have done all along.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
So close.
Now that street rings a bell. He does live in the same house.
Oh, okay. I guess it's me.
No, that's not what I was doing, but I guess sort of.
At the end of the day, yes, it's exactly what happened.
I went, what did I do? I just went to Thanksgiving at a house of skateboarders, or my friend Atiba, he's like a well-known photographer of skateboarding and basketball. And they were like, it was the best food. Isn't it funny that later in life, your friends make better Thanksgiving meals than you ever had from any of your dry turkey grandmas?
Yes.
Oh my God, it was good.
Because people really care. And some people...
And they're following recipes, not their what they used to do back in 78.
Or like maybe their mom was a really good cook and you would have never known it because they just, when they were in their 20s, just ate microwave popcorn and got drunk.
Right, right.
Like, why would you know?
Yeah. Did I tell you... I also went to a party. Did I tell you how I met Terry Bradshaw?
Yes.
Oh, we talked about that on here.
Yes.
God, I'm out of stories.
Hey, listen, we're about to make some.
Oh, let's make history.
We're gonna. Those fire trucks really fucked me up.
Yeah, they really did.
I mean, I just... Okay, yeah. I get it.
Yeah. They really... We were thrown for a loop. Thanks a lot, Evel Knievel.
I mean, what the living hell?
What the night of the living hell? What in the wide world of hell?
It is a wide world. Several levels. Different types of tortures.
Yes.
I get it. Look, we're right here. He think he did move.
Yeah, into a beautiful mansion?
I guess he's a mansoneer these days.
Well, I guess, you know what they say, get a TV show. They pay well.
That's right.
These houses are silly. If he lives on the street, I'm going to be very upset with him.
You son of a bitch, Matt Ingebretson. Here we go.
Matt Ingebretson.
Okay. I'm texting him now.
Yes. And do we have to address that we're almost a full hour late?
I told him. I don't know if we have to address it to anybody else.
Oh, okay, good, good. I'm glad you told him.
Yeah, I told him.
Because it's a saying that means you were mad, but you weren't. You just told him.
I just told him.
Okay. Did you tell him you're going to be late? Oh, I told him.
Oh, I told him 20 minutes late.
Did you give the doctor that sample of your cerebral? Yeah, I gave him a piece of my mind. Did you? I'm going to come up with a third one.
Okay.
Did you?
A lot of pressure.
Did you have a one-way conversation with your friend? I gave him a talking to.
Oh, talking to.
Yeah.
Did you have a two-part conversation with your friend?
Yeah,
that was easy for me. I was just sitting back here.
Did you hand your friend that Muppet shaped like a number from Sesame Street? Oh, yeah, I gave him a talking to. There we go.
There it is.
Fucking fixed it.
You God triple it. Fixed that shite.
Someone should give me a job. No, I'm doing okay. Just doing comedy lately and drawing. What have you been doing?
Me, I've been doing podcasting and doing podcasts.
Did you go anywhere fun? Where's the funnest place you guys have gone to do your murder?
Florida.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's great. Hi.
Is that open? Oh. Hi.
Hello, Matt. There's a mic that might trip you up.
There's guys.
Matt.
Karen, Chris.
Good to see you, buddy. Here,
good to see you too.
Hold my hand in a masculine way. It's good to see
you. Good to see you too. Thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me a ride in your car. The name of the podcast, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Giving me a ride in your car.
It's time to give you a ride in this car.
Karen, this car is great.
Yeah, it's a beautiful vehicle, isn't it?
Thank you so much. I built it from scratch, which is probably my proudest piece.
You're an auto worker.
I really am, right in Detroit.
That's how I think of you.
Yeah. an auto artist, I would say.
Oh, I was so far away. I was basically driving to your old apartment.
And then,
did you move?
I did move. Oh. I used to live over on Clayton.
I was wrong.
Where do
I
you live, Karen? What's your address? Why don't you just say that out loud right now?
Okay. I live in Burbank.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Did you used to live over here?
I did in the 90s when I was on drugs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on drugs too. That's why I'm over here.
Yeah. Right now?
Yeah.
Cool.
There was a time, I believe, when one of our first episodes with Rob Delaney, and I did say his address out loud.
That's right.
And I said, no, I'll edit that. And I think,
and then you just didn't.
I think I forgot. I guess what? No one murdered him.
Well, so far he had to move to England.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe that's the reason it wasn't the show they gave him. Speaking of shows being given or making, nothing. No one gave you anything. You built it yourself.
You like earned Karen it, like did this car. That's right.
No, it was given to me like a lottery.
They did. They still do it that way?
They just pick it was a raffle ticket. I bought a raffle ticket, and then I won.
Where? What show?
ComedyCentral.com, the show. it's a web show about the website, ComedyCentral.com.
Oh,
it's
that
incredible.
Must be good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah.
I like the last season called AdamFilms.com.
I remember Adam.
Yeah, come on.
Was Adam Films the one with the child pimp where I was like, this is inappropriate and I don't like it?
I don't know. It was Comedy Central, though. They were just doing that thing that I don't know why people do it, where they launch a new... Like when Spider, the ski clothing company, made snowboard stuff, they didn't just call it Spider Snowboard Clothes, you know? They had to call it Strike. And then it went out of business because everyone's like, what's Strike? You know what I'm saying?
No, because your parallel is a extreme sports parallel that I
hired Chris Fairbanks to be your brand manager. He has no experience, but a lot of ideas.
And he can snowboard. That's the good news.
Do you still snowboard, Chris?
I got this whole body pain thing, but I will one day.
How's that going?
Oh, great. It's great.
It's nice how your body just becomes more painful as the years go on.
Mm-hmm. I think I will snowboard this winter. I got a fake hip, and it feels good, and I'm going
to... And you want to test drive it. You want to fling it down a mountain.
Yeah, I think, if I did go snowboarding, it's my untouched hip that I'm worried about now. That's the one that's really... popping and locking.
You don't let anyone touch it?
No, no, certainly not a doctor.
No slow dancing?
No, only your hands above the hip. 2 feet.
Oh, man, that's tough. This is a dumb question. You have 2 hips? It's not just one big hip? I mean, I know there's 2 sides to the hip.
You're going to have to do a snowboard sports analogy because I don't know what you're saying.
Can we get a textbook out? I want to take a look at this.
You know how a mountain goes down on 2 sides?
Uh-huh. Right. Then yeah. Now you're speaking my language. Right. I already know what you meant because of her jokingly starting a sports analogy.
Yeah.
I have two independent hips. One of them, they're both worn out. One of them was more worn out. Mm-hmm. So they put metal, basically, on my bone and then in the socket. And now I feel great. After months of pain, but I feel great. So when is your show coming out?
It comes out January 17th, 2018.
And it is no longer called
Hampton DeVille.
Dunder Mifflin.
DunderMifflin.com.
It is now called Corporate.
Corporate, yeah. And you're in an episode of it. Did you know that?
I never know, you know, if I'm, it's easily.
Did you know what we were doing that day, Chris?
I do know that, I'm super dumb as shit. I could be edited out, that's what I thought. No, that's what I always think is going to happen.
It's always a chance.
Yeah.
No, that was a fun moment, it was funny, and then afterwards I was like, that was fun, I bet that stays in.
Are you an office worker?
He's on a corporate retreat.
Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Doing extreme sports?
No, he's in a couple scenes. One of them, I won't spoil anything.
No, please don't.
He has one of the funniest lines, I think, in the show. But they're in like a share circle in at a corporate retreat, and he shares a deep, dark secret that he should not have shared.
Yes.
Watch the show to find out.
Yeah, what my secret is.
I really like your guys' promos because they're super plain.
Yeah.
And it makes it. Not in a bad way, but like it makes you go, "What is this?" Because it just is like Comedy Central is corporate.
Yes,
it's good.
Where have you seen the promos?
There's billboards around town.
Oh God, I haven't even. I gotta look up,
Chris.
I gotta get out of the house.
Oh,
I gotta
look at the billboards.
You're running a red light, sir.
Yeah, he really was.
It's just unfair.
Have you guys ever had any intense road ragey or incidents on this podcast?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
Did.
In just one episode, there were two pretty clearly.
Yeah.
Like, It was Todd Glass?
Yeah.
First, we saw this guy on a bike. I did antagonize him. He was like riding his bike, but he's being very strange and weaving around. Remember, and he had that cocky look on his face.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I just said, yeah, we see you. And he took out his bike lock and chased us.
Whoa.
And tried to swing and hit Karen's mirror off.
Oh my.
And then just shot into an unprotected intersection. And did cars almost hit him? I thought that he almost died.
I don't know.
He was a lunatic. And
it
then
was crazy.
Moments later, we saw a guy get punched out at a bus stop right next to the car, and he was out cold.
He was like knocked out before he hit the ground. It was one of the craziest, most violent things I've ever seen.
And the guy was not satisfied. He's like, "You're not knocked out enough." And he was grabbing him and slamming his head down. It was very. I remember it very much affecting Todd Glass emotionally.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Yes. Yeah.
And
what about
that's
you,
the episode of driving in this car with me forever. We'll never stop driving in the car together.
None of them are ever. They all make me feel gross. I've been in a few fights. Yeah.
Wait a second. I think we talked about this when you were on the show last time, Matt. Because if I am guessing correctly, you've never been in a fight.
I was punched in 5th grade.
Okay. Yeah.
But we might have. Maybe this is my only topic of conversation.
Is this all the only question you ever ask anybody?
I have so little to offer the world.
I think that it probably has a lot to do with you're a tall, intimidating, more intimidating than me, and I'm shorter than everyone, so I
right.
more reason to punch people. Yeah, that guy.
Oh,
that was
maybe
amazing.
He just passed me on the left.
Oh, and he's going to do it for that guy, too.
That's humiliating.
That guy must be Italian. What the fuck?
It's
You're basically allowed to be racist against Italians.
Yes.
Right?
They're the only ones left.
Yeah, you can just straight up do it, and it's kind of fine now.
Well, the color of his car was that of a pizza box, though.
Yeah.
It was like black and red stripes, and there was a little... green logo on it.
Someone describe this terrible bike this guy is riding right here, or girl.
It's a banana seat cruiser.
Yikes.
Yikes. Oh, boy, but she was easy on the eyes, surprisingly.
Oh, okay, then she can
Should we pull
she
over? You want to ask her out, Chris?
I think she was Italian.
Throw your door open.
That's how my mom met my lunch lady once.
Look at, now he's just in front of me. You didn't get any further, sir, for passing me on the left.
Oh, God, I wish we could pass him. Oh, yeah. It would be really fun.
This dumb, dumb man.
God, he's a
it's
dumb dummy.
Definitely a man, I know that.
Yeah, one time my lunch lady had a broken arm, and I realized that was the lady. My mom threw open the door, and she was riding a bike on our street.
Oh, no.
Broke her arm, yeah, and then I had to put it together. She was also had her own Access talk show.
What?
I thought you said she was also by, hetero.
It was, she may
not
have,
relevant.
May have been. It was called By the Way with Vi Thompson.
No. What? The lunch lady?
Yeah, yeah. And I realized that later in life. Oh, wow, he's doing it again. And he almost hit that car. Okay, speed up.
We're going to watch an accident.
You're about to see that fight you want to see so goddamn bad.
By the Way with Vi Thompson is the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
This car is passing people on the left on Fountain.
Wow. Can we call the cops on him? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's just tail him.
Yeah, let's call 911.
Yeah, let's do it.
You guys meet us on Sunset.
I'm gonna.
All right.
No.
Okay.
No.
Can I say quit driving like that?
Do you remember the bike lock incident?
Yeah. Chris.
Chris. Oh, man.
I know I'm a giant man, but I have nothing to offer the world, and I can't fight.
What if you just punch your arm out the window and just see what happens?
That'd be fun.
Just punch his car.
Maybe it has to do with where I grew up, and people were quick to punch each other in Montana.
You're mountain people out there?
Yeah. People just drink a lot, and they fight out of boredom.
Montana?
Mm-hmm. That's not bad. Anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think it's better now.
Matt, you're from Texas, where no one is violent.
Yeah, just a bunch of perfectly peaceful, law-abiding, upstanding citizens. Mm-hmm. Forward-thinking.
Yeah.
Oddly, though, I was in Dallas yesterday, and they had these lime green bikes. You just get on an app, and for $1 for an hour, you get this bike. It just unlocks via the app. You ride. There was thousands of them in downtown Dallas, which is great for them to be, you know, a classic oil town, that progressive. I was pretty impressed.
Cool. I like Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas was awesome.
Yeah,
we were just there. It was cool.
I went to college in Austin, which is a cool city.
Yeah, I used to live there.
Oh yeah. I forget that about you sometimes, Chris.
Yeah.
That's our connection.
I forget about our connection, too, because we've made so many other more valid connections.
Like what, guys? Name four.
Sex.
Chris and I have been having sex.
That's an awesome connection.
Yeah.
Like connecting.
It really trumped that whole Austin thing.
Matt, did you notice it's a full moon tonight?
I did notice that. Does that mean anything to you?
It does.
Okay. Are you into
a Taurus? Yes. They say that usually people are more violent. Or, like, that the ERs are more crowded.
Really?
And there's more police activity on full moons.
Sure.
Really?
And wolfmen.
And wolfmen
say
that as well.
There's more wolfmen.
The wolfmen attest to it.
What are your thoughts on this whole cosmic, like, astrology and everything, Matt?
I think that I feel like there probably is something going on, but I don't think anybody knows what the fuck is going on. I don't think that, the person writing the Sagittarius, which is what I am, paragraph in the newspaper knows anything.
I agree.
Such a Sagittarius thing to say, though. You have to know that.
Oh, my God. Someone said that to me, and I'm Aquarius. I said I don't believe in it, and that's so Aquarius of you.
That's what I say every time.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
I am getting bored not believing in anything, and so I'm thinking about diving back into believing in something again.
Right,
Maybe it is astrology.
You know what? Just have it be church.
Yeah. Let it be astrology. That would be amazing if you just get insane. Into astrology.
Waist deep into astrology.
Yeah. Because you're letting it happen.
Yeah, I just want something.
Sometimes a life-threatening illness or a sudden death in the family will kick you into believing something.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or make you less of a believer in anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would they have done this to me?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I do remember one time I was leaving a bar, and there was a drunk lady that looked like she drank a lot. And as she was leaving, she looked at me and my friend, and she said...
I believe in God.
She said, I believe
she
in God.
She said, are
and
you
like,
Jesus?
I'm like, how much have you had to drink? No, she said, hello, Aquarius. Hello, Scorpio. And we just looked at each other and said, are you a Scorpio? She guessed, in passing, looking at us.
My favorite.
Wow.
It was horrifying to me.
I love it.
I believe I left that moment and went home.
You left Texas?
No, that was Montana.
Oh, God.
That was a long time ago. With my friend Zach. He's dead now.
No.
Who's died in your friend circle, Matt?
I got a few.
Yeah.
But not that many. I'm still skating on, like, I'm right in that pocket where people are just starting, my friends are just starting to get married, and not very many of them are dying yet.
Right.
It's
that's a good, lovely
time in my life.
That's nice. They call that the golden year.
Yeah, right. Wait till you hit 40. Mm-hmm. Boy, everyone's going to be dead.
I do remember, my grandma, when she was older, just every time I saw her, she just listed off the people who had died. That was like her opening conversation.
Yeah, that's like, my dad went to his... high school reunion, I guess the fifth one.
Yeah.
And or sixth. I don't know. But all people talk about is who's dead and what joints you've had replaced. Uh-huh. That's all they talk about. That's so fun.
And Game of Thrones.
And of course, GOT. And who's died and got joints replaced on that show.
Game of Thrones,
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Do you guys keep up with Game of Thrones?
I love it.
I do too.
It's my Kardashians.
I like it.
It's so good.
It is.
It just gives me all the stuff I want. It's like, show me sex and violence and
incest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The thing I want to watch on HBO is incest, it turns out.
Yeah.
I made my sister and my niece watch, is her name Liana Mormont? The little queen, the 9-year-old queen.
Okay.
Oh, she's amazing.
The Bear Island queen.
That kid. Yes.
I made my sister and my niece watch that speech that she gives of, and still you did not answer the call or whatever she says to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, and my sister was kind of like, thanks for having my daughter watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
But then my niece looked it up, and the actress that plays her is on a TV show called The Worst Witch, and my niece started watching The Worst Witch. She's like, it's really good, Auntie Karen. she got into it.
Oh,
it
wow.
It made me so happy.
She's a fan of that girl that's probably her age?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid blows me away.
She's amazing.
Do you feel, as an aunt, are you, like, trying to infiltrate your niece's mind?
Yes, because, only because,
yes.
For a little while, she went through a phase. Like, she used to have great taste. She loved, like, Peanuts and, like, Snoopy cartoons and stuff.
Nice.
She had good taste in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when she was, like, 7, she started loving...
Dilbert.
No. She started becoming alt-right Republican. No, she started loving Full House, and she would recite entire episodes to me. The little girls went upstairs, and I was like, I can't listen to this. I'm really mad at you right now.
Yeah.
And but now she's coming back around to, she likes, YouTube shows and things that her friends like.
And you're slipping her Zeppelin CD.
That's right.
Gotta get her into
Skinner,
Zep, man.
Yeah, get her some Skinner.
This is a band called Traffic. They're not that popular, but it's more of a musicians situation.
Yeah, especially these B-sides. It's just moments where they fuck up.
I'm getting her into a ton of jam bands. It's rad.
Setting her up for success. Chris, do you have... nieces or nephews?
Yeah. I have two beautiful little twin nieces. Well, they're not little anymore. They're almost teenagers. My nephew's 17 now.
They're older than you.
That's crazy.
He's a giant football player. He's a version of me that's taller and more physically superior.
But is he as funny as you, Chris?
He's very funny, and he does impressions. Well, he does a shit. Jason Statham. I can't even touch that guy.
Well, why don't you just go jump off a cliff then, Chris?
I never played football. And he listens to cool music, bands that I've never even heard of. Like,
Karen, I think you should consider him as your new co-host for this podcast.
Ooh, good idea. How are his hips?
Alex would be great. They're great.
Does he have
they
two?
They work great. He's got wide hips and a big bubbly ass. Alex, if you're listening right now, this is...
Alex, sorry. It must be weird.
I mean, those are my mom's words. My sister. I mean, his mom. That's... Oh, God.
Just blame every woman in your life but yourself. Sounds fine.
I'm every woman.
It's all in me. What about you, Matt? Do you have nieces and nephews?
I do not have any yet. I have two older sisters and one younger sister. My little sister is about to get married, and my two older sisters are not married and don't have kids.
Okay.
So we're counting on my little sister to pull her weight. And because my mom is the type of person who, if she had a grandchild, it would complete her life.
Yes.
Right.
And we've all let her down in a huge, huge way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad wants more, and he's looking at me.
That's very greedy.
Your dad's
though.
Been looking at you?
Yeah, he's like, he just wants his hands on another baby.
Wait,
yeah.
Is this the mini that was going crazy? Shit, no.
It's
not even a mini.
No.
Oh, no, it is. Wait, so Matt, you grew up with three sisters?
Three sisters.
I don't think we talked about that last time. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you think it's crafted your personality?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
And how?
Well, I think that... Chris, did you have brothers?
No, I had one sister.
I guess I can't compare because I didn't have brothers, but right. I feel like if you have brothers, there's a greater chance of you being a bad person.
Right.
I think if you're a dude with brothers, it's like... too much just beating each other up as a child, or just like weird competitive. I had like three sisters taming all of my worst instincts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and also you learn the lesson of that like women are in and of the world.
That's
so
right.
It's not you aren't shocked and upset by it once you get out into the world.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
My little sister's getting married December 15th, and I am officiating the wedding.
Oh wow,
that's cool.
Are you looking forward to that?
I am, and I have also put off writing the ceremony until now, writing it, and it's hard. I'm like, I love the, so far I've written a lot of jokes that, like, two pages of just, of, like, jokes that I'm going to have to cut most of, because nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
But the part that I don't have down yet is where I need to be like, marriage is this.
Sure.
I don't know anything about marriage, and I think marriage is kind of dumb. I'm sorry.
It's a bit of a scam.
I think you can say that.
And I'm my little sister, if you're listening, Emily, I'm sorry, but you're making a terrible decision. No,
maybe you can just twist it slightly so it's like marriage is what you make it.
Yes.
What's the better way to say the thing you actually mean?
Yeah. Can you ghostwrite this wedding ceremony?
I'm happy to. Yeah. I'm actually just going to... Yeah. I'll pull something out of... like a quotable website
and
then send it to you.
Kurt Braunholer helped me. He has officiated a handful of weddings and has like a whole format written out
sent
me. And so I'm just like filling in the dots.
Oh, that's good.
Filling in the blanks for
really?
Me.
Like he's done a dozen.
Yeah. Something like
that. Wow.
Because he's a priest, right?
Yeah, Kurt Braunholer is a priest.
I can see him being really good at that though.
Yes.
He they're really funny. He sent me a couple ceremonies, and they read just, like, funny stand-up acts of his.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, so I'm doing that.
And is it basically, like, when Emily was 7 years old, we knew that she would this because she did that, and then it's a funny
basically.
Anecdote.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We shared bunk beds as a kid, so I'm going to mention how much we fought about bunk bed, who got the top bunk. Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah. And you should compare it with who gets the top with her husband.
In her wedding.
Yeah, or make it about him.
Karen, you're out. Chris, you're writing the ceremony.
Okay, I was going to say the same thing. You just interrupted me.
I've been doing that a lot this episode.
You're excited.
To be back in the...
Look at that. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. It is nice. A little sunset gradient.
Well, hello.
How are you?
What's going on
there? Too bad you're
there.
Eating your books. Eating his books.
I didn't realize that I was actually flirt sip at him, but he looked straight at me.
Yeah, that was sensual.
I didn't mean that to happen.
We all were looking him right in the eyes, and he was mid booger eat. God, yes.
No,
Hey, what happens in your car, whether it's booger eating or racism?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Now, Karen,
It's not okay, but it's
not okay.
Was that man attractive? Did you find that man attractive?
No, that man looked like someone who would be on the show Arrow.
Yes.
I'm not interested in actor-looking type people.
Yeah. He looked a little like a guy who would be the lead of a country band that plays at bars in Austin, too.
Yeah.
He had a little bit of like that look.
I bet you if he got out and stood up, he would have a lot of bracelets on.
Yeah.
And he would have jeans that had embroidery on the back.
Now, Karen, what do you have against embroidery?
Yeah. I was stabbed in the eye by an embroiderist.
An embroiderist.
When you were three.
Yes.
And that's how you say the word now.
That's what gave me my speech impediment.
Right. It hit your brain.
It happened to, Stallone and Maria Shriver.
Yeah. You know what I feel bad about right now?
What?
We didn't get you a coffee, Matt, and we got ourselves coffee.
And can I tell you something?
Oh.
I would have loved a coffee.
Oh, that makes it worse.
I'm going to just get out of the car right now and go back to a...
It's too dangerous.
No, I'm okay. I'm actually going to a coffee shop after this where I will get myself a free coffee.
Oh, at your where your comedy concert is, right?
That's right, my comedy concert.
Yeah.
Does it start at 9 or 8?
8.
Oh, good.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, good.
Yep. Oh, good. I said shoot, but I meant good.
Oh, like, God.
You said oh, shoot. God. Oh, shoot.
Faux show.
Faux show.
And you guys have both done my comedy show, and you're both very funny on it.
The last time I did your comedy show, I feel like I didn't do well because I started by saying,
I
don't
this
like
and
comedy.
Who are you?
Yeah, I basically did. Remember? I was kind of like, this is comedy's pointless. Remember?
It does. I don't remember you saying that, but I do feel that right now about comedy.
Yeah, me
where
too.
Where it's like,
too.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Do we all hate it right now?
It's all the same, yeah.
It doesn't feel great right now.
Yeah, me either, man. Yeah. Me either.
I'd rather, just write think pieces.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
That's not true.
Do you remember, Matt, that time that you because of rain, your show was indoors in the bookstore, and this guy came in with his girlfriend, and you just started attacking him in the most hilarious way.
Why?
It was.
I was in a bad mood that night.
It was so great, though. You really were specifically. And they were laughing at first, and then you kept doing it, and then they decided they'd leave.
It's so funny,
but
too.
I was laughing so hard.
As a principal in the past couple of years, I'm deliberately nice to people I talk to in the audience, or I try to challenge myself to do that.
Yes.
But there was a time when I was just bitter and mean to what I was talking to.
Yeah.
I loved watching it because it's not your personality. I'd like that with anyone where I see them be mean on stage.
You see
or
them become unhinged on stage.
In a role. And then in person, they are the sweetest. You know what I mean? And that's me talking about you, isn't
well,
it?
Thank you,
yeah,
Chris.
You bet. Sweet is the word I use.
There was a one time at Largo, Zach Galifianakis was on stage and he walked outside with the microphone and was on the sidewalk. And he made this couple that were walking by come in and stand on stage.
Uh-huh.
And then he started interviewing them. And he come to find out they both worked at Halliburton. And he began to ream them. And it was totally real. And he was not trying to be funny.
Oh.
He was like, you do realize that you are the enemy. And like it was so uncomfortable.
Oh,
they just kind of stood there laughing. And they were young. It was very weird. But he was livid. He was like legitimately angry at both of them.
It's funny when you said that. I was thinking of him because he is someone that is sweet in person,
so sweet,
and he can be mean and scary as a movie character or whatever on stage. That's great. What did he say to them?
It was just like because he's so politically kind of and always has been very dialed in to like that kind of politics with like those what's happening now, which is basically all the insane psychopaths that. Are so greedy they don't give a fuck about what happens to anybody.
Yeah, the money behind politics.
Yeah. And so it's just like the war machine and, you know. Like
oh, that's great.
You kill, you know, you're killing the lower and middle class so that, I can't remember.
Right.
It was really heavy.
Yeah.
And at the time, I never knew, I didn't follow anything or pay attention to anything politically.
Like, what is he talking about?
I was just like, I am on his side. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, wow.
Another bad moment I had on stage once, which was another sort of turning point where it's like I need to stop being mean to hecklers.
Yeah.
I was at West Side Comedy Theater and I was in the green room and I kept hearing like people dealing with a heckler outside. And,
right.
And then they'd come back in and be like, there's this fucking woman, and drunk woman in the front row.
Ugh.
And she's the worst. And I got the sense, I wasn't really watching any of the show, I was just hanging out in the green room, and I got the sense that everyone hated her.
Right.
And so I went out on stage, and within the first sentence of the first setup to the first joke I was telling, she spouted off something to me.
Uh-huh.
And I just bent down and pointed, like, in her face and was like, you're a fucking nightmare. And nobody laughed. And the audience turned on me so hard in that moment. And I spent most of the rest of my set apologizing and just sheepishly trying to get back to my material.
You're a fucking nightmare.
I thought that people would be on my side. I had the impression that she was
right. Right.
They're like, we like what she's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem when you're getting a report from the other performers in the green room about a heckler, it doesn't always mean heckling. It means that they're talking or being annoying
right.
to just you.
Yes.
And they're not turning going announcing their heckles to the rest of the group.
Yes.
And that's what that probably the audience didn't even know that lady was being terrible the whole time.
Probably the only thing I'm proud of. Chris, do you have any heckler takedown videos on YouTube?
Of me doing the...
Yeah.
I was in Boise a couple of weeks ago, and I did...
You took down a heckler?
No, I got off stage, and I grabbed the table, and I said, you both have to leave right now.
Yeah.
And they eventually did, and then after the show, they were waiting there because they knew one of my friends at home, and I got in his face and yelled at him, but there was no physical
no
takedown, but they are changing they're printing out cards there that say, please be quiet, and because no one was dealing with the...
Yeah.
The cards will do it. That'll take care of it.
Well, if you think about it, like, someone standing there, like a person that is non-confrontational trying to get you to be quiet by standing by the table, that doesn't register with people, but if they receive a card, I think a version of
mail.
You that's a child... that's in trouble. It's like a business card that says, shh, you're being disruptive. They used to do it at the Velveeta room, and it worked great.
Oh, that's smart.
Oh, like they're getting passed a note?
Yes, and you look at the note, and they have to read it, and it says, shh, you're being disruptive, and it's all official looking.
That's smart.
All comedy clubs should do that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and so I think they're going to do that now because there was a... That's a town that likes to drink, like all of Idaho and all of Montana, where I'm from, and all of Texas. Everyone drinks. The whole country is fucking drunk as shit. And that's why people talk. And if they get the little cards, they might go, oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And then it's not awkward for anyone. It's less...
Unless they're so drunk, they're seeing double. And when they see the shh, they're like, it's a snake.
Yeah.
Or there's a paper snake in my hand.
And they start screaming because they're scared of snakes.
Do you feel like everyone thinks they're funny?
I feel
maybe
like
not everyone.
People in the audience at comedy shows for the first time ever will all of a sudden think they're funny.
Right.
That somehow they feel empowered by watching comedy.
Well, because it's easy to sit there and go, oh, I could do this, or I can think of funnier things than
yeah.
this.
Yes.
Because all he's doing is holding a mic and he put on pants. Yeah. I can do that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the first open mics I ever did. I was just watching, and I was like, well, I'm at least as funny as these fucking assholes.
Yeah. Where was that in Austin?
That was actually weirdly out here. I was out here for a summer in college.
Okay.
And I did an open mic at the Rainbow Bar and Grill. And then at Ha Ha.
Sunset?
Yeah, and then at Ha Ha Cafe. The Nightmare Club in North Hollywood.
That is the first place I did stand up to. Patrick Keane was working the door.
Yeah.
And, Howard Kramer took me to Ha Ha Cafe.
I did a bringer show at Ha Ha Cafe.
Who'd you bring?
Some college friends of mine that were out here.
Oh, wow.
And I had a great set. Or in my memory, a great set. I mean, I'm sure it was absolutely terrible.
If you we have a recording
video.
Of it right here. Hold on.
It's just
Aaron, where was the first time you did stand-up?
Yeah.
Or what was the first time?
It was in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I was right after I flunked out of college, so I had to do something to get back my family's trust. And I met a comic at a bar, and he and I were... like she, he was a friend of my friend's, and he and I started talking, and then I was just sassing him a lot, and then he was like, are you a comedian?
Yes.
Which I secretly wanted to be very badly.
Right.
And I said no, and he said you should be, and then he invited me to come to a show that he was the host of, and so I went to it for like a month. Like I went to 4 in a row, and I did the exact same thing where I was like, I'm funnier than all these people.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I did it.
Now, Karen.
Yes?
You flunked out of college.
I sure did.
Not smart enough?
No. Couldn't read. Never have been able to.
That's great.
How long did you go to college for?
A year and a half.
And were you just, what was the experience? You were just like, no, thank you?
It was the first time, I went from going to a high school with 350 people in a town of 30,000 mm-hmm. to going to Sacramento, and the school itself had 30,000 people in it.
Okay.
It was like a big commuter school, and
right.
I was on my own for the first time, and I was like, I actually don't have to go to class, I can drink beer and go to Burger King every goddamn day, and so that's exactly what I'm going to do.
That sounds like a great life.
It was... I've had a great life. And then I shoot myself in the head.
Oh, my God. I just... Have you guys ever seen the footage of that news lady doing that?
Are you talking about...
In the 70s?
Christine?
Yes.
Oh.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen
I know
the movie,
what it is.
But
yeah.
It made me watch YouTube, the actual suicide.
No.
I watched one, and it was...
The guy?
Something Bud, right?
Yeah.
But
the man
that one ups, that one was not good for my brain to
it's
watch.
It's very
that.
Bad.
Yes.
Very, very bad.
Did anyone watch the tiger eat that man at the zoo?
No.
That was just on... See, people have to stop posting these videos. It was a friend of mine, and I said, you can't... I did not want to see that, and then all the comments were like, me either. But a tiger killed a man. You can imagine how awful and brutal that was.
It sounds beautiful.
What?
It was just...
Was it slow motion?
It was...
To me, that's sexy to me.
It was regular motion, very crunchy, very bloody.
That's what I'm into.
Yeah. Now, Karen, the last time I was on this podcast, I don't know if you remember, but I bring it up to people somewhat frequently.
Mm.
I made you promise... Uh-oh. To when I turn 70 years old,
yes.
Shoot me in the back of the head.
And I said, yes, I would.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Are you still willing to hold up that agreement?
If it's what you want. If when you're 70 and you've changed your mind, I'm not going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. You can't let me know. It's like once I turn 70, you can touch base with me when I'm 69.
Okay. Sexy.
Right. That's, I was going to say, somewhere in the 60s, there should be a refresher on this because, I don't know, I've watched my dad enjoy life from 70 to 75 here.
So you think I should push it a little?
Yeah, just, you know.
Maybe. Yeah, my dad just had his 77th birthday and he is, he does have a marked limp and he is hard of hearing, but he's having a fun time.
Right. Yeah. Wait till you have ass cancer or something and then call Karen up.
Or how about if I may readjust,
yes.
What if I just decide when it's going to be? And it's not, we don't pick the number, you don't know the number.
Yeah, it could be next week.
Just someday you'll kill me.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I could go with that, yeah.
Right, because I think it's going to make you appreciate every moment.
I can't go for that.
Yeah.
No, can do. No, I'm sorry.
I just don't want to see it coming. Or maybe I do. Maybe it'll be fun to just, my last moment is like, oh, it's Karen. Oh, yeah. My friend Karen.
That's right. Or I could dress up like a cowgirl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where I have like guns on my hips and I'm walking up. All slow and serious. We could do it. We could just theme it out.
We could make it fun.
Yeah. We make it fun.
It's at a Halloween party, so I don't know what's going on.
Or it's, or I just do it by strangling you. So we're talking, and then I just slowly put my hand up to your neck, and I won't let go.
And I have a big smile on my face.
That's right. No matter what we do, this is going
to
be great.
Yeah. Okay, you guys are starting to talk me into this.
Are you in it?
You want to get in on this?
This is a new service Karen offers.
Let me kill you.
Halloween suicides.
Yep.
It's called Killer. KILLYR. And it's an app you can download.
But first we have to get my nickname, Killy.
Yeah, that's
going,
right.
Going, and then the branding will work itself out. Speaking of which, how about this violent psychopathic van?
That's nice.
Oh, he's been so troublesome at the show before.
Truly?
Oh, is this...
That's the guy. He's been awful.
Oh, that guy is crazy.
He's been awful. He's been, he's, he
calls himself the mayor of Echo Park.
Yeah, he's disruptive.
He's got a big beard.
And everyone has to step on eggshells around him, and he puts up with his shit. I told him, I was like...
Dave was on stage when he walked out of the door one time, and Dave just made some comment, because he looks wild.
Right.
And Dave made some comment, and he just stopped and started shouting at Dave, and
I was there
shouting at the whole audience.
I was there.
Wow.
I went up right after that. I went up right after that moment and talked about how I was going to get murdered by him.
That was almost a fight. I went and stood next to him because he was being aggressive. So I was like, am I going to have to Karen Kilgariff this guy?
Your big chance.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite drives, just going up and down in a parking lot where I'm not actually looking for a parking space.
It's the only time you can really just go in circles slowly and have no one get upset with you.
Yeah, really. I like it.
But this is your stop.
This is my stop.
And it's...
You have completed giving me a ride.
Now, is there anything else we need to talk about before you go?
Well, I'd love for people to watch my show, Corporate. Jake Weissman is in it as well. Pat Bishop, we created with him. He directed every episode.
Yes.
Aparna Nancherla is in it. Annie Dudek is in it.
I was in a show with Annie Dudek.
Oh, yeah? What show?
It's a show called The Book Group that we shot in Scotland.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The showrunner was Jake Fogle.
Oh, yeah. Adam Lustig, Lance Reddick.
Yes.
It's really fucking cool, and I think you should watch it.
Awesome. Right. I love Adam Lustig. It's so funny.
Feel free to get it by whatever means necessary. I don't care if you illegally download it.
Ooh.
Don't tell Viacom that I told you to do that.
Were you done? Because it's been a while since you stopped shooting it, if not a full year, right?
We stopped shooting in February of this year.
Oh,
and I think that's right. Yeah. And then we edited, and then we've been sitting on it for a minute.
Yeah.
And we're finally getting to put it
out. I'm so glad.
I know. It's going to launch you into superstardom.
No, Chris. And from what I've seen, Matt McCarthy will be launched into superstardom.
That's right.
Everyone, all the regular, it's great. Uh-huh. I just watched the pilot, but it's really good.
Well, I can't wait to see it. I'm genuinely excited to see it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Karen.
Because I loved Women, the sketches
that's
guys
right.
did. Because Pat Bishop directed those,
He directed those, yes.
He's good.
He's very good. Pat Bishop is sort of like a robot genius type person.
Yes.
He's one of those people that, Chris, and I know you're one of these people too, where it's like, you just start talking and hopefully I'll start saying something interesting by the time this sentence is over.
Right, right.
Pat's someone where if you like tell him something, you can see him like think about what he's going to say.
Yes.
So he like never says anything that is dumb or stupid, whereas I'm constantly stumbling over myself.
No, that's actually me.
You are the king of that. You've made that into your entire like comedic persona.
Yeah, that's how I afford my lifestyle.
Your luxurious.
What is your lifestyle?
We
go
Cadillacs.
Yeah, this boat I'm about to get on. I loved him as the director of that show too, because he was like a sweet. He wasn't intimidating
or
he was very zen. Mm-hmm. He was very namaste. He was very downward dog.
Has he directed TV before? Or is that his first project?
This is his first time directing TV. He directed a ton of stuff for Funny or Die. He edited with Bob and David and the Birthday Boys.
Awesome.
And some other stuff. So he's very talented.
Yeah.
And Jake and I are we're just trying our best.
You guys are great.
I bet it's good.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for having me on.
Of course.
Thank you for having you on, or for coming on.
And guys, this has been Welcome to My Ride. I'm your host, Matt Ingebretson.
Yeah, you did do most of the interviewing, which I appreciate.
It was really nice of you.
Yeah.
You finally take it off our plate.
I have that instinct. Like when I used to date a lot, I would just basically interview the other person the whole time.
Romantic.
To the point where they would call it out like, it feels like you're interviewing me. I was like, oh, that's right. Well, the date is over. Goodbye.
How about you answer a fucking question for once?
Oh, that's the best. Thanks.
Cool. All right.
Thanks, buddy.
You.
It's good to see you.
Bye.
We'll come in after this and watch some of your show.
All right. Great. Cool.
Okay. Great. Well, that's it for us.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's over.
Do we even... Is there anything you want to say?
No.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything either. We should just...
I just wanted that guy to get out of the car.
God. Well, no. Let's really talk about him.
Oh, I love him.
Stunk.
Oh,
wow. I think he's so smelly. No, he was. It smelled great.
No, I think that show was going to be really good. And I didn't realize you were on it. I'm so excited.
Just an episode, I think.
But still.
Maybe more. I think just one.
That's going to go straight on your reel.
Yeah, well.
We got to update that reel.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. There's a couple things I need to put on it.
Yeah, me too.
And in both things, I was in One Mississippi and this, both are with that John Daly guy.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that? I showed up at the one other thing I acted in, and it was the same dude.
In, like, with you? Uh-huh. In the scene?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so funny.
Hopefully I'll make it onto his demo reel. My goal is to be on as many demo reels as possible, not actually get jobs.
Yeah, just get demo reel jobs.
We'll have, we're going to, our next episode, we're going to have a shirt party.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So a couple people have tweeted at us.
Yes.
Please, can I have one? Everyone's being so polite and so sweet. It's so hilarious. But just so everyone knows and people who are waiting and who requested, we are going to do a special t-shirt mailer episode. Yes. And then everyone will get their t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've mailed most of them. But if you haven't got them yet, I only have mediums and larges at this point. But only a handful.
We got a request just today of a lady that would like a medium. And she said, I'm asking nicely and I've listened for as long as I've known about it.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
It made me laugh so hard.
We're going about it a different way where I already had them printed for that podcast festival. And then so I was like, well, email me your size and your address. But then I had to send them back an email with my Venmo or PayPal, and then they would email back and say, okay, money's there. And so then I look at my email and my PayPal and my Venmo, and the people that gave me money, that's who I sent shirts.
Oh, I didn't realize you. Thank you.
It was a lot, and putting them in envelopes and going, I went a few times to the post office. But if you thought you ordered a shirt and it hasn't come, it's because I haven't gotten money. That's all.
Got it.
It was money and then mail.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway, so that's,
okay.
Yeah.
Loving it.
I am too.
I love it.
Well, we're going to honk in front of that guy.
I think we're going to have to.
Yeah.
We'll do a light one.
On the 16th, if you're in Missoula, Montana, in December, I'm opening for Reggie Watts. That'll be a really fun show. And then,
oh, nice.
And then I'm in Portland on the 21st to the 23rd.
What club? Do you know?
At Helium in Portland.
Nice. That's a great club.
Two fun gigs. Yeah.
That's so fun. Go see Chris Fairbanks do comedy. And if you like him, try to date him because he's on Bumble, but it's not working out.
Oh, it's not. I'm not ever going to meet anyone. I wish I hadn't even mentioned that.
I want to mention it more. I think we need to get out there.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to start mixing it up. We need to start very casually dating tons of people.
Yeah.
Just lots of meet and greets.
Right. Spread myself thin. Hurt a lot of feelings.
Tons of coffees and really superficial interactions.
God, I can't do it. What you're describing, I just can't do.
I'm the worst.
Oh, God.
I just simply don't want to talk to anybody.
Me either. Oh, no.
Unless they don't seem to want to talk to me, and then I'm in
exactly.
love with them.
Exactly. That's wow. We have to talk more about that. There's one. If someone doesn't like me back, oh, man.
No, that's the key.
Oh, God.
Because, well, there's something about it where I can pretend to be casual up until a point.
Right.
But then if I get a little idea in my head and there's any even suggestion of rejection.
Yep.
I misinterpret heartbreak for love.
Right.
Is, I think, my main problem.
Good God, I do that too.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had that in common.
Yeah.
Good God.
We need to talk about important things more and stop
Normally,
this bullshit.
When we end the podcast, we honk, but there's so many people in front of the car, I think we're just going to have to not do it.
We're going to have to not do it. I'll do it. You do your thing and I'll provide the honking.
Okay. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.
That was pretty good, right?
So good.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Mouth horn. with Karen and Chris.